I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Mayor of Waco, Dylan Meek, who has been kind enough to join me in studio for the first episode of 2021. Dylan, it's a new year. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Hey, great to see you. Thanks for having me.
So, this is your third time on Downtown Depot. We've already been over your Waco history. We have discussed ad infinitum, your work as a city council person. Now you are the mayor of Waco. What has your time in the mayoral seat been like thus far?
Such an honor and joy to serve this community in this role. It really is such a privilege to get to represent Waco in this capacity. It has been fast and it has been furious, and I would say that that would probably be the case regardless of someone jumping into this role, just getting their sea legs and getting caught up to speed. But in the world of COVID, it has definitely been very busy, and there have been a lot of issues that we've been navigating that ordinarily a mayor wouldn't be. So in addition to many exciting and positive things that are associated with the growth and just development of our community.
So earlier this week, I posted on Instagram on the Waco Business News handle that I would be talking to Dylan, and some people submitted questions. One of them was, how are we keeping COVID under control? I know that just recently the Waco Trib reported that hospitalization rates in Waco, they hit a new high. We're now in the third week of our vaccination effort here in Waco. So give us an idea. I know you're not a medical professional, but from your point of view, how is Waco doing and what are we doing to improve?
Well, I would say that to answer that question directly, the good news is this is a team sport. And so we've got a great team of people who have diverse skills and expertise, a diverse skill set, and they have expertise in different areas that I think are really going to ensure that Wacoans are kept safe and informed in a very challenging and difficult time. So we have a great working relationship with our medical community and our hospital systems. In fact, I'm on a call with our hospital CEOs and the CEO of the Family Health Center, as well as the county judge, Judge Felton, three times a week. And we've built a great, deep working collaboration to ensure that we are all informing one another of the needs, the opportunities, the concerns that we might be facing. With regard to hospital capacity specifically, we've worked very closely with our Office of Emergency Management and some of our regional leadership even to ensure that hospital capacity will, we will still have hospital capacity for any Wacoan or resident in McLennan County that has a critical need, they will be able to be cared for. And hospitals are working diligently to ensure that they continue to have space to be able to treat patients who have critical needs. And they are having to make some changes. I know that some of the hospitals have ceased doing elective procedures at this time to ensure that they have space. We also have a backup plan for an alternative care site in the event that our hospital systems are literally completely full with no space left. My hope and actually my expectation is it won't come to that, because I think there's some things that we can continue to do to partner with the hospitals to make sure that there continues to be space. But in the event that we do hit that capacity, we have a good plan in place.
It had to have been difficult for you in this interim period after rolling off of city council when you moved out of District 4 and before the elections for mayor, seeing all of this COVID stuff transpire and largely being on the sidelines. What was that like for you, and were you able to give input and counsel to the city and the county's response to this?
I think it was a blessing in some ways to be able to really just take a sidestep. It was unexpected. Just as a backup, well, the reason I did step away is because my wife and I were selling our home, and we were under contract to buy a house and sell our home prior to the realization that there was any chance the election would get pushed back because of COVID. We went under contract in very early March. And so we had these deals in motion thinking that there would be an election in May. We were going to close after the May election, and win, lose, or draw, it wouldn't matter what district I lived in. anymore at that point. So we were looking at a variety of different parts, and we ended up moving just a couple blocks outside of the District 4 boundary, but that required me to step away. So it was just another example of the impact of COVID on a family. But I think it was good to step back. It really did give me time to campaign. But in addition to that, I think it really did allow me to see a different perspective of how the city government was functioning from kind of a sideline perspective that I hadn't been a part of in a while. But also obviously had close relationship with the members of the city council and was able to engage with them in discussion to the extent it was ever productive.
Like I mentioned, we are now rolling out vaccines in McLennan County, which is such an amazing thing that we have a vaccine this quickly. In Waco, as of, the 28th of December, 1,470 people had received their first dose of the COVID vaccine. And in the first 3 weeks, a total of 6,150 doses had been allocated. This is according to Rhiannon Sagert of the Waco Trib. Dylan, typically a vaccine can take 10, 15 years to develop. This has been very rapid, which is causing some people consternation and fear about taking the vaccine. The other side of it is that a lot of the regulatory pressures that had been applied to vaccine development had been lifted because of this pandemic. So it really, in some ways, is a terrific triumph for the power of the public-private partnership here that has created these vaccines. For folks who might be listening who are hesitant about taking this COVID-19 vaccine, what would be your response to them?
Well, first, I would say talk to your physician if you are able to do so. That's my approach to this. I trust my local doctor. I believe my personal local doctor, I think, is going to give me good, wise counsel. And so I'm going to listen to what he has to say. Another suggestion I would have is we give a press conference once a week. We're not doing it this week because during this taping, it's the holidays. But usually every Wednesday, the city county judge and representatives of our hospital systems give a press conference. And last week on December 23rd, Dr. Verner, Farley Verner, who is the infectious disease specialist in our local health authority, gave an in-depth presentation on why this vaccine is distinguishable from other vaccines. And I would really encourage the listeners to go check that out. It's available online on the city's website, as well as many other local news agencies' websites. And you could really listen to his presentation in depth. Again, as a medical expert, he's far more trusted than me. One of the things that I thought compelling, though, is just a non-medical citizen was that these vaccines had really been developed. The so much of the work to prepare for this moment was done with previous coronavirus vaccine preparations over the in the last decade, and that really did enable this process to move more quickly. But again, I would just suggest that listeners go talk to their local doctor, or you can hear our own local infectious disease specialist, Dr. Farley Verner, give a in-depth discussion on the city's website.
I want to talk about some of the amazing things that happened in the downtown area in Waco in 2020 and now looking at 2021. But before that, I want to go back to when you were in this interim period after rolling off council prior to mayor. What was something that you learned during that period that maybe is something that you had taken for granted while you were in the city council position and had assumed that would roll over into the mayoral position?
You know, I'm sure that with a little more thought and contemplation, I could come up with something more profound than this. But when I wasn't serving and my calendar began to rapidly clear, I was there's an extreme amount of gratitude that I have for the city council members here in Waco who serve sacrificially. This is there's a meager stipend that comes along with this. It is not by any means close to a paid position. And so many of our city council members give hours and hours and hours every week to ensure that our community is safe in this pandemic, is growing in a smart and healthy way, that our economy continues to advance, and that our quality of life progresses. And with the time and energy that our current city council puts into these matters, our city is better. And so it took me stepping back to realize how much time I think really goes into doing this job. And I'm very thankful for the public servants that are on city council right now. And I'll just say their names: Andrea Bearfield, Hector Sabido, Josh Borderud, Kelly Palmer, and Jim Holmes are all serving, giving so much time and so many hours. And it took me stepping back to really almost recognize how much time goes into doing this work, and I'm thankful for them.
Now the fun stuff. So when I first moved to Waco in 2015, I heard about this riverfront development that Catalyst was doing. I think it was in the maybe November of 2015 is when they were awarded their TIF funding. $100 million project, got $20 million bucks, and we're finally starting to see some fruits of this. This project has been mired in environmental work and, of course, the terrific amount of planning that goes into a multi-use development like this. What is this development going to bring to downtown, and what are some other things that citizens in Waco should be looking forward to as a result of this development being here?
Sure. First, I just want to acknowledge, yes, it's very exciting and it's great. It's vertical right now. We're seeing structures being built. We're seeing vertical construction, and that's what we want. This is a piece of the downtown puzzle. It is going to be a very strong step forward in developing along what I think is one of our city's strongest assets, which is our river. It will include apartments, commercial space, restaurant, and retail. The phase that's being done right now, and a hotel as well. The phase that's being done right now is going to include some of the commercial, residential, and parking garage. But then almost simultaneous there too will be some of the restaurant and retail. Oh, also in phase one is the where the farmer's market was and will be. I think you're going to find it to be a bit more polished in terms of, just really finished out and landscaped nicely with good streetscapes. But the trees will stay. So for those forever fans of the River Farmers Market site, I think that we're going to find that it definitely maintains some of that beloved character.
It really is a crown jewel property. When anybody is coming into Waco, they're likely coming in on I-35, and this is the first thing you see, and you used to just see Golden Arches and the Raising Cane's sign and Chick-fil-A. This is such a branding opportunity for the city, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the structures that will actually go on the river, there's designs and that have been made, but the actual properties that are completely adjacent and on the river, that will not be in this phase. And I think we're still working with Catalyst because I do think that, you know, all of our vision and dream is that when you cross that river coming into Waco from the DFW direction, it just takes your breath away with the beauty of this space. And we really do have an opportunity to make a real it's a generational project, and I think that the live, work, play components of it are going to be special and impactful, but I think aesthetically it's going to be breathtaking as well.
One way that many metropolitans try to make themselves look unique is through a performing arts center or through a stadium for their local sports team. There had been discussions about possibly Baylor and the city partnering together on a performing arts center / event space where basketball games could be held. And they were discussing putting that there at the riverfront development close to the Clifton Robinson Tower. What are your thoughts on that? What are the latest in that conversation? Is that something we should be looking forward to, or is that dead in the water?
I would say at this juncture that it's something that there's a lot of moving parts there. And I certainly respect all of the different thoughts coming from Baylor on that, and look forward to working with them. From a city perspective, I believe that far and away a basketball arena that is a part of the Riverfront development is going to be ideal. And again, it's a generational opportunity for our city. And I'm going to do everything I can within reason to ensure that that happens and that that is a part of the Riverfront development. Again, I know that there's Baylor has different interests, and we're in discussions with them at this time, and I look forward to continuing to partner with them with an expectation that we will be able to get a deal done, and want to do everything I can while still stewarding our tax our taxpayers' dollars well, but do everything I can to have a project that makes sense for both our city and the university. I'm a Baylor graduate. I'm a Baylor sports fan. I do think an arena on the downtown side of Baylor could be an absolute win-win. I want to seek to understand their needs and work diligently with them to ensure that we can develop a win-win strategy on this. But the city is very excited to partner with them to that end.
Men's basketball, Baylor number 2 in the country currently. Women's basketball, number 7 in the country. This is literally one of the flagship schools in the entire nation for college basketball. Mm-hmm. And as an Aggie who lives downtown in Waco, I have never felt compelled to go to Ferrell Center and ride my bike or walk over there. But I could tell you, if I was walking downtown getting dinner and I realized there was a game going on a block from me, that's a really attractive scenario. And it's something that having your sports teams in the downtown, it mirrors cities like Phoenix, Arizona, or Boston, where you're walking in downtown and then Fenway Park happens to be right there. It can provide such a vibrancy for your downtown areas if you bring in an entertainment component like that.
I think that we're really committed to working with Baylor as well to make sure that their needs can be met, whether that's accessibility to campus living, whether that is ensuring that fans have adequate parking. But I do think that there's a beautiful opportunity for this win-win scenario where fans will be able to walk to downtown eateries, retail, and restaurants along the river, and simultaneously downtown patrons can jump into a basketball game as well. But I think it can definitely, to have that sort of traffic, it will benefit our downtown economy. But I think that it would also be just, again, like a very unique win-win situation where people are just kind of flowing into, you know, from restaurants and into the game and from the game and into restaurants. And it could really activate the downtown life. And I think, again, be something that lifelong fans who have had season tickets for 40 years would really be able to just jump in and enjoy this experience, and then new fans would as well.
Even outside of the Riverfront development, there is a lot of money being spent downtown. The AC Hotel at 6th and Mary, about $48 million being poured into that. The Pivovar Hotel is going vertical right now at 8th and Jackson, which is right around the corner from Magnolia, where they've just recently finished about $10.5 million worth of improvements and have a absolutely beautiful wiffle ball field and shopping there along 8th Street. Is there something that's happened in the last year or something that's coming up in 2021? It could be any of those projects or something that we haven't mentioned here yet that you in particular are really excited about having in Waco? You think it brings a new component to what we're doing here?
No, I mean, I wish I could say that there's something new that you didn't just reference, but I think all of that. I think that it's been a really challenging year for our downtown businesses with COVID. It's definitely it's been an adjustment with the impact that this virus has had on the economy and commerce, and I'm thankful that our city has really rallied around supporting these small businesses. And my hope and plan is to continue to have a real strategic focus to ensure that the economy in downtown Waco is diverse and can really grow. So I look forward to partnering with members of neighborhoods. I look forward to having some organic growth. I look forward to ensuring that we have professional service, white-collar jobs. We have artisans and entrepreneurs of all stripes that can really find success in this space. And so I think that more than a specific project, what I really look forward to doing is building relationships with the members of the downtown family even more deeply than I currently have. Again, I represented that district when I was on council, so I know some folks well, but there's definitely people that I want to get to know better and look forward to really building relationships with long-term business owners and people who are just in the dream stage. I look forward to building relationships with people that are coming to Waco for the first time to open up a business and people that have lived in the neighborhood for whose family has lived in the neighborhood for generations and they want to start a business, and ensuring that we're initiating strategic and proactive steps to make sure that everyone can find success or has the opportunity to find success in this community. So I think that's going to take some proactive strategic work, and we're committed to doing that.
There is a Texodus currently happening right now. Tech companies in the Bay Area in particular are leaving the state of California, fleeing high housing costs, high tax rates, some regulatory hurdles, and they're coming to Texas, the wide open spaces of the Lone Star State. Companies like Tesla and Oracle and Hewlett-Packard have all announced that they are expanding into the Austin area. Dropbox, another one. Waco is, of course, going to get some sort of waterfall from this. But is there anything that Texans should be afraid of, having these California companies coming to our state? Like, are we afraid that maybe Texas in 10 years from now looks like California? What are your thoughts on this migration?
I think the thing that what I want to be careful about is ensuring that this is an opportunity for local Wacoans and not something that is going to displace local Wacoans. And by that, what I mean is I really think growth, I really think people coming to our community and wanting to live here is a really great opportunity to seize, because that means if you want to start that business, then this could be a great time for that, because there's going to be new customers or new clients that you could activate. And so I think that the sky's the limit, because there's such an interest in Texas. You want people desiring to be in your area. You don't want people fleeing. I think that if we're not careful to really propel and enable and empower our own local residents to achieve economic security, economic success, or financial security, then what could happen is that, you know, the rising cost, properties specifically and property taxes could get more expensive as more people are excited to be a part of a community. My goal is that Waco isn't the most desirable city in the state. I want people from all over the world to say, I want to live in Waco. But as a part of that, I want residents of Waco to have a clear opportunity for economic success and financial security and an ability to make enough money to where they don't have to worry about being displaced. And people moving to Waco is an opportunity for them to find that financial security and that economic success. And I think partnering with organizations like Startup Waco, all of our chambers of commerce, and other economic and business organizations, as well as our own economic development department, we're going to be able to really achieve some really cool things and ensure that right balance is struck.
The Magnolia Network is in the process of launching, and I get the feeling that Wacoans still don't fully understand the ramifications of this network being based here in Waco, the work that Chip and Joanna are doing to change the perception of Waco from the outside, and all of the jobs and fun things that are going to come about as a result of this. I just feel like so often it's disappointing to me that when people talk about Magnolia, they talk about a lack of parking or being frustrated they can't go to their favorite restaurant without tourists being there. Help steer the conversation to put into perspective for Wacoans the impact of Magnolia and having Chip and Joanna Gaines doing their work in downtown.
Sure.
What does that really mean?
Yeah, first, I just want to say how much I appreciate Magnolia as an organization. They're good people doing good work, and what I love about that team is that they really do have a good heart for our city. They deeply love Waco, and it's from that space that I'm probably the most thankful for who they are and their character and just their kindness for their community. And I think that when you become as big as they are, people don't always hear about or see the kindness that I've been able to see over the years. That gets lost sometimes. And so I'm most thankful for that, is just the goodness and decency of the leadership of that organization, including the Gaines family. But I think that it is an incredible booster shot into our economy, what Magnolia does from a branding and marketing perspective, all the way down to just the tourists that and families that are coming here or seeing Waco on their television screens and saying, that's a city I would be interested in living in. And again, that's an opportunity for us. It's not a silver bullet, and it doesn't in any way demean all of the hard work that has gone on to develop our local economy for the last 50 years, all the hard work that has gone on to develop our downtown in the last 50 years, and especially in the last 10 years. And so there's a lot of good work that was being done that needed to be done, that had to be done, but it's a great booster shot to our economy to have and creates incredibly greater opportunities for our community, I believe, from an economic development perspective. And again, just so thankful for them.
2021 is upon us. We have a brand new year with new challenges, of course. We are not out of the woods with COVID-19 and the ramifications on cities for having lost a lot of tax revenue over the last year. That will continue to play out in the future. But what is your parting message for Wacoans? What do you want them to know about you being in the mayoral seat,
sure,
about the vision for Waco in 2021 and what this city really can look forward to?
We have so many cool things that we have on our horizon, and I think that there's a lot of great undertakings. I'm so thankful for our council and as well as so many other community stakeholders who are working really hard to be strategic and proactive to make Waco a great spot. And whether that's kind of engaging in a exercise on what's our local brand, all the way to how do we support small business, and to something like how do we support the arts community. There's so many great, robust, healthy conversations happening right now with really good people. But I think for me, what I'm really excited about is I believe that the puzzle pieces are on the table that we can pull together to make Waco a place where every Wacoan has an opportunity to have financial security, where every Wacoan has the opportunity to be in the middle class. We have Amazon and other businesses coming to Waco, about 1,250 new jobs coming to our city. And I look forward to working with other community leaders to upskill our workforce to ensure that they have the opportunity to go get good jobs. So whether you're starting a business, you have entrepreneur support, if you need skills to go get a job that pays a middle-class wage, we're going to be able to help you have that opportunity. And I think that the economic future of Waco is bright, and we're going to make sure that every Wacoan has the opportunity to seize on that chance.
Dylan Meek is the mayor of Waco, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us on Downtown Depot.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the 95th episode of Downtown Depot here on KWBU. If you want info about happenings in your town, find me on Instagram and Facebook at Waco Business News. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.